I think our conversation was starting out really well because you were like, how were you able to foresee what was happening in the world? Like, is there anything either about you inherently or growing up, things that allowed you to be able to predict these kinds of things happening in the world?
Wow. I don't know. It wasn't until a few years ago that I really realized that the way I see and perceive and analyze things is anomalous, just in general. Like, I guess as a kid, I always knew, okay, I'm a little bit different in a way, but everyone feels like they're different or whatever. And that's also part of why I didn't really used to share, outside of my music, I never really used to share that many of my thoughts. Like, so a lot of people now know me for someone who, as someone who's quite outspoken and honest and expressive about various issues, social, political, cultural, whatever, that are going on in the world. But I didn't start doing that on any public level until 2018.
Yeah.
And I've been on social media since 2006 or so, right? And no, earlier than that, 2004 even. And so when I started doing that and I started commenting more, this is way before any of the, you know, stuff that's happened in the last couple of years. I was like, okay, people are really finding what I'm saying interesting and perspective, and sorry, and perceptive even. So I started doing it more and more, and of course I had that viral deadlift, the viral deadlift thing, which went crazy in early 2019.
Was that intentional virality? Like, you knew that that would blow up, or was that just natural? Like,
no, I just put stuff out there, and I think it's interesting, or I think it's funny, and I put it out there, and that thing just resonated with millions and millions of people, so that was like a little gateway door for a lot of people around the world to discover me. And then off the back of that, they found everything else I do, from my music to my podcast to my general thoughts, etc. And so stuff's just at a different level. So coming back around to properly answer your question, I don't know. Maybe it's just how I'm wired.
Yeah.
I'm just wired in a certain way, and I'm not a... I don't consider myself someone who's... I wouldn't define myself as a contrarian. Certainly define myself as a heterodox thinker.
Yeah.
And someone who doesn't care about being in the majority.
Yeah.
A lot of people care about being in the majority, and they're very, very sensitive to, like, criticism or what they feel is social disapproval or whatever, and I'm just not sensitive to that. So I think that allows me to sort of think out loud publicly and to put that out there, even though I know there's going to be blowback, I know there's going to be criticism, sometimes I know there's going to be, like, hate and very nasty comments and demonization and whatever, and I don't... I care far less than most people do.
Did it take building up and working on your character to get to not caring? Because that's something that, like, I have struggled with, in a way of, I think, just my growth happening so quickly and going from thinking that the heroic thing was the sheephood, like thinking that the being the utmost sheep was like the most heroic thing. Like, was there a moment or a lesson that led you to start caring less, or is it just like built up thicker skin out of being here longer?
No, hundreds of thousands of them. Something a lot of people don't know, because the majority of people who know me discovered me in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I released my first album in 2006. So I've been a musician, which has put me somewhat in the public eye since 2006, when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And so from then, I've been dealing with criticism. I've been dealing with positive and negative criticism, love, hate. You know, I got used to people I don't know, people I've never met, saying stuff about me, you know, criticizing my art or saying stuff about me. And then I used to, the way I really built up my name to begin with is I used to sell my CDs on the street, right? So I've sold over 25,000 albums just direct, hand-to-hand to the public. To sell 25,000 albums, do you know how many people you have to talk to? Do you know how many people have to say no for you to get 25? Yeah, to get 25,000 people saying yes, take out their money, give it to you in exchange for anything.
Yeah,
you have to take hundreds of thousands of no's, hundreds of thousands of rejections, hundreds of thousands of opportunities of for people to criticize you or to just totally ignore you or to say nasty stuff. So when people are like, "Oh, Zuby, how do you deal with mean Twitter comments?" I'm like, "Bro, I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of people. I've dealt with the public for literally from 2006 to 2018.
Yeah.
I'm out there talking to the public on the street, in shopping malls, going to cities I've never been to in my life, out there all day talking to hundreds and hundreds of people. So it's like I've heard it all before. Like, I've dealt with it all.
Do you think that, like, having like skin in the game in person, because I can relate in the way that like growing up acting, I became very neutral to comments about my appearance or demeanor because it's like that's not something you can prevent. And it's been more recent, the thicker skin around character, if someone comments to think that, you know, the political takes or anything have a comment on like you're a bad person because of this. Do you think that having in-person because I think that you can probably agree there's hypersensitivity and like infantilization of adults going on. Do you think that the online ability to mute, block, delete, or stop talking as a way to not get hate is different than you growing that thicker skin through in person when you have to react or grow quickly to it?
Yeah, I think in person always trumps online.
Yeah.
With any interaction.
Yeah.
And so if you can build that up offline, then I think it's much easier to deal with it online. This goes for the positive as well. This also goes for the love and the appreciation. I think it's always worth bearing in mind, like, again, people say, oh man, how do you deal with all the negativity? It's like, bro, no one asks how I deal with all the positivity.
Right.
Every city I go to now, there's people who know me, who like what I do, who are following. Like, I can do a meetup in virtually any city.
Yeah.
And at relatively late notice, I can get, you know, dozens of people who are like, cool, like, meet me here.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go for dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
And the love is overwhelming. And that's also something that you have to kind of keep in check. Is it being all right?
I thought it wasn't. We're actually good. I thought it wasn't. So we're fine.
Yeah. So it's the positive massively outweighs the negative. And here's another thing is, like, this isn't just, like, the ego wanting to deal with the positive and get rid of the negative, but the positive criticism and the positive comments are also more relevant for many reasons. Because the people who actually follow me and listen to my music or listen to my podcast or just generally know what I'm about, their opinion holds more value because they have a better bearing of who I am. Just like your family members or a close friend's opinion of you is different to that doesn't hold equal weight to the opinion of some anonymous
account on Twitter. It's actually insane.
Right? So
the difference.
Yeah. So if all your friends, if your friends or family are criticizing you, then you're like, okay, I should listen and this matters, right? I know they love me. I know they care about me and they know who I am and they know my character.
Right.
So if they're criticizing something I've said or done, it's worth reflection.
Yeah.
Right? If it's just, there's some account on Twitter with 12 followers who doesn't even follow me, who is writing something nasty in response to something I've said, why would I care? I care about your opinion as much as, like, less than some drunk guy on the street.
That's very helpful.
Or like, why would I care? You shouldn't even be able to reach me.
Yeah.
Right? Again, this is not me trying to be, like, arrogant. I'm like, in a normal world, you wouldn't even be able to communicate with me.
That's very
only
true.
Reason you can even reach me is because you could just at Zuby Music on whatever.
Yeah.
And now, okay, just like I'll see the positive, I'll also see that on my phone, but I shouldn't even be accessible to you.
Do you think that your audience came partly as a result of like the like eloquent and like on the ball things that you were saying? Or do you think that that was something like, do you think a lot of your audience came as a result of that or stuck with you from the beginning and was watching that come to you and grow more and more?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. But the growth trajectory has been heavily weighted towards the latter in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
Right? So to give you an idea, so let's take one platform. I'll take the platform I'm best known on, Twitter. You know, doing two.
Is that your favorite? Or?
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
My Twitter is great. It does like 5.5 million impressions a day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
2 billion a year. So I joined Twitter in 2009. It took me, I hit 10,000 followers in about 2015. Beginning of 2019, people who follow me recently don't see this. Beginning of 2019, I had 18,000 Twitter followers. As we record this today, I have 490,000. So it took me 10 years to get to 18,000, and then another 2 to go from 18 to 490.
Yeah.
And that's just on Twitter.
And there's that exponential growth. That's what happened with
me. Yeah, very exponential. Yeah. So a lot of people who have known me prior to that are generally still riding with me and love the fact that they're like, man, Zuby's like,
yeah.
I remember someone DM'd me today and was like, dude, I bought your CD 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Eight years ago on the street in Peterborough.
Yeah.
Out of your backpack. And I just logged into Twitter for the first time forever, saw what you're doing, and amazing. But then a lot of people have discovered me more recently, which is fine, and most people in the US, my audience used to be primarily UK, shifted now to be primarily US. Yeah. So that's changed. That's just kind of how it is in terms of the growth trajectory.
Have you changed at all in the way that you've always been someone who like saw kind of the imposition of liberty starting and like were able to see those trends, but have your views changed at all throughout the past year in experiencing this, or just become like deeper?
Deeper. All that's happened with me is, a lot of people have this thing of starting out as younger or like on the left side of the political spectrum, as leftist and liberal. Yeah, that's a familiar story. I'm not that guy.
Okay.
No, I've always been, if I have to put myself on the political spectrum, I've always been center right. Always. Like if you pulled, I was not even into politics when I was 15, but if you asked me my view on various issues, I would have found that I came out more right-leaning, certainly by 2021 Western standards. So all that's happened is I've moved downwards more towards libertarianism. So every single day, I lose a little bit more trust in the government. Like literally every day. Like I don't know how much more trust I have to lose because there's not much there, but everything, I'm just like, y'all are even worse than I thought you were. If you went back to me 2 years ago and told me that Australia is going to go back to being a prison colony, and that they're just going to F democracy, F liberalism, F freedom, F liberty, we're going to lock down our citizens forever, we're going to say it's because of a virus, but we know it's not. We're going to ban people from coming in, we're going to ban them from coming out, we're going to shut everybody in, we're going to make it illegal to go outside. In fact, we're going to get the army to enforce it. We're going to do this in Canada too.
For your own good.
Yeah. If you told me that at the beginning, January 2020, you told anybody that, they would have been like, no, that can't happen here. This isn't China. This isn't North Korea. This isn't the Soviet Union. So I'm like, wow, okay, this can even happen in so-called liberal democracies. So I'm like, my faith is even less now. I'm just like, dude, like, I was already on like, you know, screw the government. But wow, it's like they're going more and more tyrannical, more and more authoritarian. And I know that, I'm familiar with history, I know governments can become authoritarian and tyrannical. I grew up in Saudi Arabia, so I'm not, you know, I don't have this notion of, oh, everywhere is a liberal democracy, etc. But I was like, wow, even the Anglosphere countries, even the Western countries, that we, these bastions of freedom, or so they were sold, no.
That's what's worrying me, is seeing how, I know growing up hearing about the Holocaust, it was little by little, and so that made me very suspicious of like all accepted belief systems that require micro decisions, because it's like the micro decision day after day is what, I hate the word indoctrination because it comes with a stigma that people don't take seriously, but it is indoctrination in a way. And like little by little, when it starts with, like you said, the 2 weeks to slow the spread, little by little, you know, now it's, you know, mask back up, even if you're vaccinated, to protect, like the weirdness of like, then now, very sadly, I think New York, like, it's not even about vaccine efficacy or non-efficacy or like the decision, it's all about the control and the bending the knee. And my concern is that a lot of well-intentioned people, if they have collectivist tendencies, that might lead to, like I found myself at some point thinking that it is to be the utmost like head sheep, like be like, lock everyone down, like everyone needs to do this, that is the most noble thing. Do you worry about that as well, where like well-intentioned people, if they don't have a first-hand experience with like being, like for me the first-hand experience was somehow people thinking that I was an alt-right white supremacist, and me being like, guys, these tweets are fake, this is out of context, I don't know where to begin, but the ball was rolling for me to become a disaffected leftist, and then realize, yeah, why am I apologizing for wanting to own real estate? This is a little absurd. Do you also have a concern for that, or do you have a more optimistic view of the future?
I have a huge concern for it. That's my only concern, and it has been more than a year. That's been my concern. Yeah. My concern's never been this virus. My concern has never been this virus. Not on a major level. Let me not say zero concern, because obviously, look, I'm not here. I'm not in the, oh, the whole thing doesn't exist camp. I'm in the response is far more dangerous, deadly, and concerning than the virus itself.
Especially at this point in the timeline, like
from the beginning. I thought this from the beginning.
You were ahead of the game.
Whenever if someone said to you lockdown in January 2020, what did that mean? It was a prison term.
And now it's somehow a normal reaction to an outside issue.
If you put on a mask before you entered an Uber or a store or a bank in January 2020, what would happen?
Stairs be like, the hell is this? Are you ill? Yes.
You get stopped. Yes. You can't go in a bank with a mask on.
Right, right.
You get stopped. You can't go and put a mask on and go
that
to an
Uber. So true. That is so true.
Everything has been inverted.
Yes.
Right? People are like, oh, it's too early to end lockdown. I'm like, bro, we never should have locked down in the first place.
And the meanings of words are now being inverted, so that you're confused. Yeah,
they already did this. They already, you know, look, in the West, they've been inverting the meaning of man and woman for how many years now?
Right.
Right? You're talking to the British women's deadlift record. This is how absurd. We're not living in reality.
Right.
Right? We're not, reality itself is under assault.
Yes.
And that is terrifying, right? Yes. This is what happened in, you know, the Soviet Union, et cetera.
Exactly.
Because reality itself is under assault. That's what they do in North Korea. It's an assault on reality.
Yeah.
Right? You're not, people are not allowed to believe in reality.
Right.
You have to believe that, you know. And so that's concerning. And then, like, on an individual, because like, the thing is, I always say human beings are individuals. Human beings believe they're individuals, but they're also herd animals.
Yes.
So sometimes that's not bad. Tribalism is innate in human beings.
Right.
And tribalism can be a beautiful, wonderful thing. It can also lead to genocide.
Yes, yes.
Right? When taken to its full toxic extent.
Right.
Right? And you can divide human beings, and powers that be always know this. Always. It's always been known, divide and conquer. Right? If you can set people up, pit them against each other, race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, nationality, political belief. Now, are you wearing a mask or no mask? Vaccine or no vaccine? What? Diseases are not new. Viruses are not new. Coronaviruses are not new. Vaccines are not new. Can you imagine in 2019 if people were losing friends or family members over whether or not they'd have a flu jab?
Insane.
Right?
I agree.
Do you get the annual flu jab?
No. I don't eat. Did anyone
ever call you an anti-vaxxer?
No.
Prior to a year ago.
Exactly. Okay. Yet now there are huge campaigns calling me an anti-vaxxer on any platform.
Did anyone suggest that you should not be allowed to fully participate in society because you have not had your annual flu vaccine?
Nor did
Keep in mind, the flu is more deadly to children than COVID is.
Nor did people say that I was somehow impeding on their rights by not receiving something that does scare me due to the level of media censorship. Exactly. Yes. Had it just been offered, evidence allowed, it would be very different than the situation we're in now.
That's how you know it's a psyop.
Yeah.
Because people now believe and even advocate for things that would have been unconscionable to them.
Yes.
Less than 2 years ago.
Yes.
That's how I'm like, dude, this is a mass brainwashing.
Yeah.
This is a mass brainwashing that's taken place because, and the politicization of it, right?
Yes.
How are masks and vaccines, how's being in favor of them now like a liberal or a left-wing thing, or being opposed to them or being opposed to the mandates is now like a right-wing thing?
It's even being inverted because usually it's right-wing is in favor of law and order, some type of more institutional control, and the left would have been the party of the people like we're standing up against if it's been inverted.
It's all been inverted, right? Yeah. You've now got people who are, you know, calling themselves socialists who have Team Pfizer in their Twitter bio.
Yeah.
Team Pfizer? Right, so now you're
big
a shill for Big Pharma.
Right?
So
insane.
It's insane. And people on the right and conservatives are like, nah, like, you know, F Big Pharma, right?
Right.
It goes so deep. What was one of the mantras of my body, my choice?
Yes. And now if you say that and you're saying like, just let me think about a vaccine, don't mandate it, and you're seen as,
these people have been screaming about, you know, like, I'm pro-life, but people have been screaming about my body, my choice, my body, my choice. And now when it's actually about my body, my choice.
Right.
It's like, oh, so y'all don't actually believe that at all.
Right.
So, y'all cool with killing unborn children, but you don't. But this is just outlining the sheer hypocrisy and the tribalism. And dude, if you just go back to last year, it's funny. You can do this on Twitter. Go back and look at some of the tweets of Trump, the Trump administration, announcing the vaccine.
And people are saying, I would not take anything from you, but they'll take it from Biden without even thinking, saying,
See who is anti-vax and vaccine hesitant at that point.
Yes.
Some of those people saying that they're never going to take
Kamala Harris.
Now, they have fully vaxxed in their username.
Right.
This is less than a year ago.
Yes.
I'm just like, y'all are clowns.
That was the number one. I 100% same page, because that was the number one thing that, not the number one, but as I've begun, because I would not have woken up, so to speak, if it was not my own people somehow calling me out. And then suddenly it was like reality flipped a switch. I'm like, oh my fucking God.
And then when the veil falls, you see it
then
all.
Then also because I was in the camp of, yes, I am hesitant because it does seem rushed, and because I'm just wary of things coming out of Trump's mouth, just due to the not. I never had Trump derangement syndrome in a way. I was always like, you know, I disagree with the guy on a lot of things, but I don't seem as the second iteration of Hitler. It's just he's a little bit too dramatic for my taste, which is different. But then now being hesitant for the same reasons of how do I trust the media? How do I trust this after this? Now you're an anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. You were spilling misinformation. Mm-hmm. Like, saying that I'm cautious is not misinformation in any way. Actually, it would be more disinformation, but it's not even relevant. Yeah. But that is what concerns me, because I would not have at all woken up from this had it literally not been me somehow turned into a neo-Nazi. I'm like, guys, like, my fucking... No.
It's happened to a lot of people. That's why there's so many disaffected liberals out there in, you know, UK, USA, whatever, because it's coming from their own side, shall we say, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's become this dog-eat-dog. I call it circular firing spot.
I call it wokeness cannibalizing itself. Yeah. Apparently, that's an alt-right belief. I was like, I didn't know, I don't know anything about the alt-right. I didn't know I was alt-right.
Well, we should talk about the control left, right?
Yes.
If they're going to talk alt-right, let's talk control left, right? Because that's a much bigger population.
It's more homogenous, in my opinion, so it's more easily weaponized.
Yeah, it is. And, and like you said earlier, it's the greater good and collective goodwill and, you know, safety and security. Every tyrant uses these banners, right? People think that tyranny comes just, you know, I guess there have been some dictators in the past where it's just like, okay, this person's just straight up evil and they're kind of doing bad for the sake of bad. But that's
to
really...
get there.
But it's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare. It's normally more of a, okay, we got to break some eggs to make an omelet.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So that's why to this day, people will still defend Stalin. They'll still defend Mao.
Oh my God!
They'll still defend
Marx.
Pol Pot. They'll still
They'll
still defend all of these people. Right? People don't defend Hitler.
Right.
Do you know why? Because even though he claimed the greater good narrative, I think it's clear that it's much easier to see why Nazism is objectionable.
It was a more visceral embodiment of that energy, so people finally caught on.
Yes, but, you know, and so, I mean, there will still be people who excuse his actions or say, oh, you know, it was for a greater good or whatever, but it's like, how many millions, how many hundreds of millions of bodies need to stack up before you're like, no, communism's a bad idea, right?
That's exactly been my thing, is that I was shocked when, like, I'm shocked at the mobilization of 15, 16-year-old Marxist-Leninists.
Oh, yeah.
Then being like, and then I'm sure you're familiar with Yeonmi Park, like the North Korean. When I found her things, was like, fuck, because I went to NYU. And I loved it, was very thankful for the experience. But some of the, I'd say, CRT, any type of critical theory class, was like, whether it was critical queer theory, critical racial theory, I felt a little
bit
like...
You studied these? You had them?
I did. I was a little bit like, whoa, because I came in through acting, and therefore there were performance studies classes that were, look at the performance of this map, look at the performance of this historical account, like, what is the whiteness behind it, or the colonizer behind it, and it's a bunch of, like, liberals, it's a bunch of, like, liberal white people from Brooklyn there being, like, terrible, and I remember just sitting there, very open-minded, just being like, wow, just being like, okay. And then, like, I would find myself thinking that everything that was like a work of art by someone who liked Mozart, I'm like, that's a white supremacist creation. And so then my family in Texas starts to be like, what the hell? Like, they're like, what? And they're not conservative. Like, they're like immigrants from fucking Germany, Poland. Like, they're not Texas. Like, but they're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And even I am like, this does seem like quite a lens for reality. Like, this is a little weird. And it wasn't until now seeing that people are so well-meaning that they even call Yeonmi Park, who, like, if people are unfamiliar, she defected from North Korea, she escaped sex slavery, she literally will point out that you do not know you're oppressed if you're saying that you're oppressed. It's really the people who don't even have a vocabulary. And she was saying that Colombia's woke rhetoric scares her, because it's a lot of, like, do not think for yourself, be part of the collective. If this is triggering for you, find the safe space outside of class, leave. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I didn't even know was making me uncomfortable, but I was having kind of a weird resistance to this feels like mental gymnastics to get here. And that's what worries me, is like the education system. Do you think that there's one way that people tend to wake up? Because it can't be like me, where it's like you're publicly, the Rolling Stone is coming after you saying yes. that you're white supremacist. Like,
yeah.
How do you think the majority of people will begin to wake up to this?
Unfortunately, oftentimes people don't wake up until something hits them in the face
yes.
or is about to.
Yes.
And it affects them directly.
Yes.
Unfortunately, right? Human beings are very, you know, we are self-centered for the most part, right? Which is not a bad thing, by the way, right?
Right.
And, you know, people use terms like self-centered and selfish to inherently mean something bad.
The locus is the self.
Yeah, but the locus is the self, right? And so oftentimes, unfortunately, it's not until someone is directly, or maybe someone close to them, is impacted by something that it snaps
yeah.
them out of it, right? And that shouldn't have to be the case all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it just needs to get so bad that so many people in the circular firing squad get proverbially shot for them to be like, you know what, maybe... Like, okay, we've canceled everybody, so maybe
literally,
we need to, right?
I was re-canceled for using a Kesha song from 2010 because it was a transphobic song,
oh,
so
fantastic.
Now I'm transphobic.
Fantastic,
I'm like,
yeah.
None of my trans friends had an issue with the song,
no,
but okay, thank
no,
you.
No, but
yeah.
I'm sure other people got offended
right,
on their behalf,
right.
of course. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the best you can do is, like, people do wake up. I've woken a lot of people up.
Yeah.
I've woken up
yeah.
a lot of people, so I know that what I put out there... I've had people DM me, be like, man, like, when I first followed you, I kind of thought, like I was disagreeing with, like, 90%. Now I'm agreeing with, like, 90%.
Because you presented you know? In a way that is clearly not a tinfoil hat. It, like, you
yeah.
were very well-read. You know what you're speaking about. So
yeah.
it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't, I'm very cautious not to, although, you know, some of the stuff I put out there can be spicy or considered controversial. It's like, number one, I don't go out just to... I actually have some basic rules that I follow on social media and also in life, which is, you know, one, like, I don't, I try to, like, minimize damage, certainly to individuals,
right?
So I can be fairly ruthless with ideas, but I'm kind and empathetic to individuals.
Right.
So unless someone comes at me, if someone, like, really, really, really comes hard at me and goes full on ad hominem and something, you know, well, mutually assured destruction. Actually, it won't be mutually assured destruction because I'm gonna have a much bigger
yeah.
microphone than you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll flip on. But I don't target people. You'll see, like, in my tweets, I never go after anybody.
I've noticed that.
Right?
I
never go after anybody
yeah.
because, number one, like, I'm not that person, and I do have good intentions.
Yeah.
And also because hundreds of thousands, millions of people are always watching.
Yeah.
And so I want to also set an example, not in a cheesy way, I want to set an example of how you can go against the grain
yeah.
or you can challenge narratives and whatever without being an a-hole about it,
yeah.
right? You don't have to be like a fire blaring who's just attack this person, attack that person.
Yeah.
And go, I don't do
you
that.
You can't work
and
that
if And if someone
show.
Responds,
yeah.
like, I engage, and I'm very happy to engage with people who disagree with me and are willing to keep the conversation civil.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's
yeah.
people I've had conversations, like, we are opposite ends of a given issue or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk. And I don't hold any strong belief that I can't explain, and which
yeah.
I also can't explain the other side.
Right.
Oftentimes better than other people.
Definitely, because there's nuance to everything, and it's when
yes.
they disregard the nuance and get emotions involved that we can't
yeah.
have adult
yeah.
conversations.
Yeah, I think a big event, you were asking earlier about one way I do this, I'm very extraordinarily low on the personality trait of neuroticism.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? I'm in
yeah.
like the bottom 2% of the whole population. So
yeah, I'm
literally,
not for neuroticism and agreeableness. Those are two where I literally
okay.
have like none.
Yeah, so
yeah.
people are way more emotionally sensitive than
yes,
I am. I'm, not,
yes.
I'm just not an emotional
do,
person.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm like, you know, a robot
it's
or a psychopath or something. I've
struggled with that. Do you know your MBTI type?
Yeah, I'm ENTJ.
I'm INTJ,
yeah.
so I'm like the
introverted
nerd.
Version.
Yeah,
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 yeah. So
people think we're robots. It's just like,
yeah.
no, we just don't fucking freak out.
Exactly,
like.
exactly. So that's how I am. So when everyone else is getting all in their emotions and losing their irrationality, because once when people are emotional, especially fear and anger, shuts down their capacity to think.
It's a bodily reaction,
yeah.
so you can't deal
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, yeah. It shuts down their capacity to think, and it's like, okay, well. If you're in a hyper-emotional state, then there's not really a point in a conversation until you can like kind of bring that person down or they snap right, out of it. Right. It's like, okay, once you do, then we can have a conversation. Right. And when it's just hysteria, it's why, look, over the past 18 months, very high percentage of the population has literally been propagandized with fear for 18 months straight, every single day. I don't own a TV. I haven't had a TV for 12 years.
It's a brainwashing device. Yeah.
So, you know, so like, but even I, even here in Florida, I've been to Texas, you can't go a day without hearing about COVID or the Delta variant or masks or vaccines or what. Even if you're trying to avoid it, it's there. And for some people, they've been watching the TV every day, looking at the number, case numbers, death numbers, hospitalizations, every, for 500 plus days straight. Is it shocking that they're
so reactionary?
Shook? Is it shocking that they're double vaccinated, jogging outside with a mask on?
Right.
Maybe I would be doing the same if I had been subject to the same assault on my senses. And that's why you can't even, it's hard to have conversations and be reasonable because people are operating from, you've got a whole segment of the population who's like, okay, the survival rate is 99.9% plus in most demographics.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions of people have already got been infected and recovered and have natural antibodies. The vaccination has got rolled out. Everyone who wants it has had it, whatever. Right. Like, at this point, even if you were worried at the beginning, it's like, okay, at this point, August 2021, like, when I left the UK, COVID was the 26th cause of death. 26th cause of death. What's getting 80% of the media attention? There's 25 other things that are killing
more
people.
That is the alarming thing.
Yeah, and it's like, guys, this is not rational. You've got Australia. They've locked down whole regions with zero deaths, zero hospitalizations.
It was
one case.
It was the recent.
Lock it all down.
I believe it was, I don't even want to misspeak, but there's an area of Australia where they were saying this area is so terrible, like literally you all are, the army went there and was very, very physical enforcing citizens because the death rate increased to 2 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was out of control.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is alarming because I agree when people are fed the amount of fear, which is like anything that you take in is consumption, whether it's food 3 times a day, that's fake food, but it's panic driven food. It's, you know, things in it that will alleviate, that will alarm the body. It's panic driven media. I can't even, when people come after me in a way that is hypervigilant, taking me out of context because it feeds the moral policing kind of dopamine hit of like, I got her in this spot. Like, no, obviously I didn't. I was using a quote from The Office. I was not being a white supremacist. Like, things like that. Where, no, literally, like, so like Dwight Schrute says superior genes. So like, there'll be a time when it's like, I cooked minute rice in 58 seconds, superior genes are like white supremacist rhetoric. I was like, oh my God. Like, how does that, literally.
Yeah.
I can't even dislike or feel emotionally like wanting to come after the people because I'm operating at such a different level to where when we are able to kind of have the bird's eye perspective, it's like we're not going to mess in the sadly, like it's like taking a bunch of poison and expecting your body to immediately revert. Like it's going to take cycle by cycle. I think based on like your track record for seeing where things are headed, where are you seeing and what words of advice do you have for based on where you're seeing?
Okay. So I've been saying this from more than a year. I believe this is always true, is the people always have the power.
Yeah.
It's up to people.
Yeah.
It's up to the people. With any, all of these different issues, it's like, it's up to you. And something I've understood is people don't understand how much power they have individually.
Mm.
People don't understand how much value they have individually, and people don't understand how much power they have individually, right? There's so much like, and this whole thing's been a demoralization campaign, by the way, right?
Yeah.
So they've demoralized people, which makes it easier to make people do bad things or to, like, this has been, when I use the term brainwashing and propaganda, like, I mean it in the truest, truest sense.
Yes.
They've demoralized huge percentage of the population to make them weaker and make them more likely to succumb to things they don't want, more likely to turn against their neighbors, etc., because they're scared and they're anxious. But the power lies with the people, okay? Let me give an example. Let me do something that's relevant and simple. What would happen if everyone just took their masks off? Say you're in a place where, you know, we're in Florida right now.
Right.
So most people aren't wearing
like
masks.
New York.
If you're in a place where most people are wearing masks,
New York,
right?
Yeah.
What would happen if everyone just took them off?
absolutely nothing would probably, the day would care. Do you mean hypothetically like everyone freaking out, or do you think...
I'm asking you a question. Yeah. What do you think would happen? If everyone just, okay, on the count of three, we're all going to just take our masks off. What then?
I think that a large majority of the population would freak out. I think that they would feel like they're missing, that they're, like, because I've seen this with friends who are Canadian and able to visit the U.S. on visas, and they are trained to freak out and be very scared.
Okay, but what if, you think if everyone did it, they'd all be scared still?
I think if everyone did it, no, actually, I think that if everyone did it, they
would all be like... What if everyone did it and a week later there's no more cases, the numbers haven't gone
up? They would no longer be socially incentivized to police each other about that. It would be okay, we're fine.
Okay, and what do you think the government would do?
Say make up some other way to keep that going. There would be some other new kind of way
I think the mandate would be dropped within days.
Okay. That would alternatively.
Yeah, they can't enforce it.
Yeah. If they cannot enforce it. Just how I saw actually a pretty viral TikTok, which I was surprised because TikTok tends to censor at any time I post anything that is mildly encouraging self-sovereignty and thinking for yourself. It is taken down for hate speech. Literally taken down for hate speech. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, no, I know what I'm playing with. I know what I get to do. But I saw TikTok and it was like, what if everyone in New York just refused to get the vaccine? Mm-hmm. What if all the nurses refused? Like, what if you wanted it, you got it, and if you didn't, you just refused? Yep. And the comments were like, why aren't we doing this? Yeah. And people were like, it's a city of fucking sheep. And I'm like, that's why it's a struggle being there still right now.
But I mean, look, do you remember when Texas dropped all the mandates in March?
Yes.
What did people say was going to happen?
They said the cases were going to skyrocket. There's no identifiable difference in the data between Florida, Texas,
Do you know something, there's a lot of absurd things over the last 18 months. Do you know two of the most absurd observations is that to this day, there is no compelling evidence, there's no compelling real life evidence that mask mandates or lockdowns improve.
Literally, anything. Quite literally.
There's no evidence.
And yes, I say this as someone who in the beginning thought that the sensible thing was lock everyone down as quickly as you can, as intensely as you can to stop spread. Mm-hmm. When it wasn't working, I then came to the same page because how is this still...
And if you just think of it very logically, it should be obvious that it won't make a difference. Like, if you think about things properly. So, where does the virus spread?
Airborne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Specifically, indoor or outdoor?
Indoor. Okay. So, keeping people indoors.
So what do we do? Stay-at-home orders.
Stay-at-home orders and or building. Okay. And in New York, building Plexiball, indoor dining outside.
Uh-huh.
Have you been to New York recently?
No, I'm going there next month.
Okay, basically what they're doing is they're allowing indoor dining outside. Mm-hmm. It's literally, I'm like, guys, come on.
Okay, so, can you spread a virus you don't have?
No.
Okay, so even if a mask worked, who should wear them?
The people who have the virus.
Yes.
Right.
And if you have the virus, should you be out and about? No. And we've already known this forever, because even if you have a flu, you generally know. You never needed a mandate to tell you, you know what, if you get sick with the flu or even a cold, don't go to the gym, you already know. Both for yourself and for other people. We already know this. Viruses are not new. None of this is new, right? None of this is new. You never needed to mandate people like, oh, you've got a flu, you have to do this, right?
Insanity.
And so when people are like, oh, you know, masks, I'm like, even if a mask works, say you had, I don't know, some specific mask, I don't know, maybe an N95 might block the parts, I don't know. But if you had one that worked, it would only work in the situation that somebody is sick.
Right.
And they have to be amongst other people for some reason, and that person wears a mask because there's it. Any other situation, it's obviously moot, right? Because you can't spread a virus you don't have. Everybody, this whole thing is running off the notion that everybody has the virus.
Right.
Right? And everyone is equally susceptible. Asymptomatic transmission is a major thing. All of these things are false. It's also running off the notion that, you know, oh, the virus spreads like outdoors and indoors and everywhere the same. It's like, no, like, okay, we know the virus is killed by UV from the sun. If you have high vitamin D levels, your immune system is protected. The virus does not spread outdoors. Okay, so we're going to tell everyone to stay indoors and not get vitamin D.
Right.
And not breathe fresh air.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's entirely, no one even brings this up. It's entirely possible that the measures increased the COVID transmission.
I think so, because what started to get my mind kind of was the nursing home situation in New York.
Oh boy.
Because if that, no, exactly. Right. If that was somehow the worst super spreader incubation, mm-hmm. then would that not be the exact same mm-hmm. for a health, to a lesser degree? Mm-hmm. That, like, that's what I was like, whoa,
the,
whoa,
as far
whoa.
As I know, the three, don't quote me on this, okay. but I think the three biggest areas of transmission at home, in hospitals, in nursing homes.
Right.
I believe these are the three biggest sources right. of transmission, right. right? And so, literally, a stay-at-home order is, and then we haven't even talked about the fact that the impact this has on one's immune system.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And your general health and well-being, both right. mentally and physically.
Right.
You know, we haven't even talked about all the fallout of, like, the lockdowns themselves,
which
economically.
Which is why, yeah. even if you think that the first part was justified, the ongoing thing, the sunk cost comparison,
oh
it's insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
And look, if lockdowns work, if lockdowns and mask mandates worked, which they don't.
They would have quickly
then,
worked.
Then, if they worked, why do we have to do another one?
Right.
If it didn't work, why are you doing another one?
And people saying that we didn't comply. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure
oh,
that...
Oh, but then that person will tell you that flu is down 95% because
right.
people are wearing masks and locking down. Like, people are talking out every side of their mouth. They're moving the goalposts. When the death
right.
numbers get extraordinarily low as they are now, what do? They shift the narrative. Now they're talking about cases.
Right. Right.
I don't give a crap about cases. Like, who cares about cases?
Cases, yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like, you test more, you get more cases. Yeah, you do
relevant
not,
deaths and hospital overload.
All that matters.
Yeah.
All that matters. If you, nobody cares about cases. Right. And this is just, it's just constant gaslighting, ghost post move. The whole narrative is BS. We haven't even talked about that all the way through this thing, there is a treatment, both preventative and treatment for this thing, which
ivermectin,
is being suppressed.
Ivermectin.
And we can't talk about that on
we
YouTube.
Can, we can't.
We can, you can't put that on YouTube.
No. I know,
yeah,
that, for,
so
I know,
you know
that for a fact.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I, actually, yeah, I'll edit the section out because, or not edit it out, but I'll say we mentioned this. If
okay.
you want to see this, you can go elsewhere.
Yep.
I'm sure you're familiar with Brett Weinstein.
Yes.
That is the main reason why I am simply like, I just cannot trust CDs. Like,
it's so dark.
I had
right?
a friend who was very familiar with the literature, went to doctors, kept saying, his father was dying.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying, guys, what about this? And
mm-hmm.
they were literally like deer in headlights. Like,
yep.
we do not,
yes.
we cannot. Like,
yes.
they were like, it was, he.
They're letting people
yeah.
die.
Yes.
They've let millions of people die. Because they want to profit off of these vaccines, they want to
yes.
get more control. They like
because they
and,
could,
then, and
yeah.
then they're and then they're. Do you know the most disgusting thing is they're trying to blame this now on the unvaccinated.
Yes.
Right. So the just people who you should be mad at, people are mad now at people who are like have are like whatever, and they're totally ignoring the people who they should be mad at. Right. And have you noticed that there's huge swathes of the world that we can't the people don't talk about. China?
Right.
China's been back to normal for more than a year.
Right.
How?
Right.
Have you seen, what's the official death count in China?
They literally
4,000.
Oh my god.
1.4
yeah.
billion people.
Yeah.
Epicenter of the virus, highly densely populated places, old population, and you're telling me that 4,000 people died? You're telling me 600,000 people died in the US with not
That's
with
weird.
A quarter of the population
yeah.
and 4,000 died in China? China was rolling out vaccines last spring.
Right. Yes.
How?
Yes.
What was the vaccine?
The Sinopharm. Yeah.
Like all of this stuff. It's like, can we talk about this?
Right.
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 Another part of the world that gets ignored.
Africa is. Yeah.
Yes.
Completely ignored. Yeah.
Okay. How does the entire continent of Africa have less deaths than England?
Be fine. They're
How? Like right. So
yeah.
I mean, I think I know some of the answers to
yeah.
this. Young population. People spend a lot of time outside and are generally better health, lower obesity levels.
Yes,
like these are some demographic factors.
Right.
But you know what else they use in Africa?
Ivermectin, because it's they use
yes.
that more regularly on
yes anti-malarial and anti-parasitic
yes.
drugs are taken generally by large swathes of the population.
Right.
And lo and behold, oh, like you know, not a lot of people have died. So
right.
we've got all this worldwide information and data. But instead of, this is how you know it's not about health, it's not about a virus, it's not about,
yeah.
because people are totally ignoring, like in the UK, Florida and Texas don't exist.
Right.
Like, it's like they don't exist.
Yeah.
Because people will be saying all this stuff, I'm like, guys, like, Florida's been open a year. Like, I've got friends, and I'm talking to friends in Florida, Georgia, South Dakota, Texas now, and like, they're fine.
They're
like,
fine.
So all this, we need to lock down again. I'm like, it clearly, like, you can look at the USA state to state, places to lock down and have mask mandates, how long they had them in dip. No correlation. no correlation at all.
That and was this the is, nail in the coffin for me, was like just no the Texas no court, seeing my family's data versus mine being like...
It's no correlation. And people don't look at the data. People don't look at the data. Like, the data tells the story.
They look at manipulated data. They look at highly manipulated New York Times infographics.
Throughout this whole thing, I'm from England. Throughout this whole thing, every week, the NHS has been publishing information about the COVID death numbers, okay? Firstly, do you know what's classified as a COVID death in England?
Anything that, like, is it the same situation as in the US where deaths with COVID and of COVID are not differentiated very well?
A death within 28 days of a positive test.
Does it also count the deaths that aren't due to COVID, but that have COVID in the system? So yeah, exactly.
Yes. So a death within 28 days of a positive test. Okay, so already we're talking about that. We're not talking about died from COVID, right. Okay? But they've been publishing the data every day. So we're now in August 2021. I looked at the latest data file. Less than 50 people under the age of 20 have died with COVID in England from the beginning. From the beginning. Less than 50. I think it was like 47. Okay? Under 40, it's, I believe, around 700. Of which 100 had no pre-existing conditions. Over the whole period, 18 months.
And that's a huge population.
18 months, yes. Okay. Yeah. The average age of death with COVID in the UK?
82. Wow.
Do you know the average life expectancy in the UK?
82. Yeah.
All right, so right now, what are they trying to do? They're trying to vaccinate teenagers and get like people in the zone, right? Yeah. People who have a 99, if you even get it, 99.99%+ chance of survival. Assuming you even get, people are running around as if, oh my gosh, if you get COVID, like there's a 10% chance you're gonna die. Maybe if you're 85 plus and you have a comorbidity, it might be 10%. All those people are vaccinated.
Yes. Yes.
Or have the choice to be if they want to be. Like, this whole thing ended. Like, this is the thing that blows my mind, is at this stage, I'm like, guys, it's August 2021, right?
Yes.
It peaked, again, I've got family members who are doctors. Like, I know that December, January, legit, December, January, there's a time period where, okay, like, the ICUs got bad.
Right.
Right? In certain regions,
2019.
Sorry. 2020. Yeah, so December 2020,
okay.
January 2021. When it peaked.
It was.
Right?
Yes.
That's when it peaked. And then, vaccine rollout, change in temperature as you come out the flu season, etc. Boom, like really it's been flatlined in terms of deaths and hospitalizations for many months now. But, what happens? The news keeps tightening. More restrictions, more lockdowns, more of that. You know, in various countries, it's like, oh, we need to do this, we need that, we need the vaccine passport. It's like, what are you doing? Right?
Yeah.
You know, like, and this is how from, I mean, even back in January, people were like, yeah, I'm going to get the vaccine so that we can just, you know, things will go back to normal. I was telling people, I'm like, it's not going to make things go back to
normal.
That's
what worries me is that similarly, I had friends who, because like, I don't know, they were more familiar with vaccines. They were more, had a medical background. They're like, yeah, I'll take that. Like, sure. I understand this. They like, but now with the idea of a seasonal shot and it being
always going to be seasonal. Yeah. This is the thing, right? It's like people here now who are talking about like, oh, I'm vaccinated. It's like, bro, you're vaccinated for like six to 12 months.
Right.
Man.
Right.
Right. You're going to join the unvaccinated, those dirty unvaccinated people again. Like, unless you take your booster shot every time, like you're joining the party.
Do you think that the world will, because it doesn't look like the momentum is slowing. Do you think that the Great Reset kind of, themes and the requirements for this documentation will only increase, or do you think that there will have to be a breaking
point? The government is always going to take as much as it can.
They can, and there are people on their side now thinking it's the norm.
This is what I'm saying, is it depends on the people.
Yeah.
If the vast majority of people are compliant and even advocate for medical tyranny and discrimination, segregation, then it'll go through.
Right.
It'll go through, at least for a while. Like, that could get ruptured by, like, massive lawsuits or certain events that totally turn the tide, right? Okay. For example, God forbid this happens, but it's likely to happen just given statistics, okay? Say a company or even a healthcare system, et cetera, or government mandates the vaccine. Somebody dies from it.
And then is that...
What now? Take a big company, Google. Google's mandated vaccines
Google,
for employees.
Tyson,
say a 25-year-old Google employee takes the vaccine, boom, they get myocarditis, have a heart attack, and die. What now?
Now it's a lawsuit and grounds for speculation.
Now every company is like, oh, geez.
Have you seen...
This is why medical procedures should never be mandatory.
Right.
To be clear
too
on this,
room
right?
Too much for error. Because science is evolving. That's literally like
the... Yeah, fundamentally, you shouldn't be able to mandate something that has the potential to cause physical harm, disability. Like, if you want to take a medicine, look on any pills where you've got a list of side effects. Everything's at your own risk.
Right.
Even laser eye surgery.
Right.
Right? Before you get laser eye surgery, yeah, it's like, look, these are the pros, yeah, these are the cons. Any surgery, someone wants to get a boob job, someone wants to get, like, I don't know, something removed from...
Tattoos, right? Yeah.
Like, it's mandatory tattoos. Imagine a tattoo mandate, right?
Yes. That, to know that you're vaccinated, ticked, or something.
Yeah,
like
that would be insane because it's your body. Yeah. Right? And so it has to be voluntary. And this is the thing. Like, everyone understood this prior to 2020, right? Everyone understood this. So this is not anti-vax, which is how stupid people try to label it because they don't want to contend with what you're saying.
Right.
This is simply saying, like, yo, this is pro-vaccine choice. I think whatever medical procedure, whatever you want it to, like, this COVID thing is nothing special. My view is consistent, right? If you want to get... Do I think anyone should be forced to... I don't think you should be forced to take aspirin. Aspirin is safe, like, you know, whatever, but you can't mandate that you have to take an antidepressant, or you have to take, you know, even a doctor might think, like, okay, this is what's best for him, but it has to ultimately...
I refused recently certain medical things because I'm never really ill. I broke out in a full body rash. Mm. Was like, they now think I had a freak infection of a dry spot that got like I was in the wild and I had something go in. They were like, it looks bad. Mm. But they wanted to put me on heavy antibiotics. And I said, no. And if they pin you down
and start stuffing you, like, everyone will be like, no, that's unethical. You can't do
that. And that's essentially what that's quite literally what they're doing with the mandating.
And you know what else is interesting is, if the virus and the pandemic were as scary and deadly as some people are claiming it is, none of this stuff would be a conversation.
It would be immediately clear and you would be doing it. It would be evident.
You wouldn't need, if you knew, like, legitimately, that by going outside or going to a party or going whatever, oh my gosh, there's like a, say even there's a 10% chance you're going to get sick, and then if you do get sick, there's a 5% chance you're going to die. You're not gonna take that risk,
right?
The reason why you're comfortable sitting here with me is because, well, number one, like, neither of us are sick, but even if one of us magically got COVID, you know that your survival rate is so high, right? Every time you get on a plane, you're taking a risk. Every time you get in a car, you're taking a risk.
No. Actually, when you sit down on a plane, risk removed. Just like when you sit down at a restaurant, you're immune.
Yeah, but they want you to keep the mask on the plane, right? But I'm talking about like a plane crash or a car crash, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So every day we do risk analysis and risk calculations, right?
Right.
There's no government mandate saying that you can't go surfing if you don't know how to swim. But if you don't know how to swim, you're smart enough to be like, yeah, I'm not going to go surfing. Like, human beings, if you're an adult, you constantly are making risk calculations, and getting the state involved and mandating all of this stuff, especially with something as intrusive. There's nothing more intrusive than an injection into your body.
I agree.
There's nothing more intrusive. I mean, we already know there's thousands and thousands of people who have had negative reactions. Like, you know, that's a thing. And look, it's a very small risk from what I... Short term, anyway. We don't have long-term data.
That's the...
Short term, I'm like, I agree. When someone's like, look, Zuby, like, that's a very low risk. I'm like, I agree with you. Do you know what else is very low risk?
Getting COVID and having any...
Dying of COVID.
Yeah.
If you're not in an at-risk demographic. So... Yeah. I tweeted this the other day. I said they're rushing around trying to increase the... They're trying to force vaccines on children to increase their survival rate from 99.999% to 99.999%.
Right.
Which also isn't even accurate.
Right.
Because actually, realistically, across that size of... Across millions of people, you'd actually probably reduce the survival rate. Because if even like a tiny fragment of a percentage of those kids had a negative reaction short or long term... Especially if you're going to be injecting them every year, say.
Right.
You're each time you're multiplying the possibility of adverse reactions. Whereas you already know, we damn well know, this virus does not kill healthy children.
Right.
We know this.
Right.
Less deadly than the flu. Yeah. We never even considered, not even a mask for a flu. We didn't even consider any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Any of it. Right? And was anyone running, oh my gosh, you want to kill kids? Do you want, you didn't get your flu jet? What, you're a child killer?
Grandma killer, actually.
No, with the flu. You're a child killer.
Right, you're a child killer. I'm murdered.
In fact, being a child killer is worse.
Right.
Being a child killer, being a killer is bad, but someone who kills children? You've been, like, everyone's been a child killer for the past 40 years.
Right.
Like, my whole life. Like, everyone who doesn't get their annual flu jet, and not just get it, but run around and, you know, tell everyone else to do the same and mandate they do the same.
Somehow.
We've been killing, you know, like, this is the thing.
Spreading misinformation.
It's a psyop. It's all a psyop. And that's why I speak about it so much, because, number one, it is interesting to me.
As disheartening as it is,
we're living through
something that will be historically documented in something in mass psyops. I agree.
A mass hysteria, yes. Moral panic, right? There's cities, I believe, in like villages, at least in like England and France, and where, you know, that was it, maybe like 1400 or 1500, but back when they had the witch hunts, and they killed almost every woman in the town.
Yeah.
Why? Because there was a moral panic and a mass hysteria,
yes,
which shut down people's senses and morality, to make them believe all these people
that all threats had to
were
be
witches.
Had to be
imaginary threats. These women were not witches,
right?
Like, but it's just, oh my gosh, like,
there's a small chance of that woman actually ever harming you in a different sense than you actually think.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, yeah, mm-hmm. I have weird past life. I don't know if they're real or not, but weird memories and things. Mm-hmm. So I have like things tattooed on me, kind of in a way.
Must be a witch. So
you know. I get told I have memes of me made into a witch a lot. I'm like, whatever. But I agree. I feel strongly with that. Where the reaction, once the momentum, because I understand what it's like to have an angry mob of mostly 15, 16 year old Marxist-Leninists after you, and the mobilization of that and what that happens, because good-natured people, if they can be co-opted into a collective, you will fit the narrative. And I say this as someone who has gone from not realizing that all the media I consumed was so heavily leftist, or that is not even reality, and that's just literally not even how things work, to now seeing it is what you take in day-to-day basis.
And there's nothing more dangerous than taking advantage of people's better natures.
Because they do think that they're helping.
Yeah, exactly. So two of the most easily exploitable personality traits, actually, are, I'd say, compassion and neuroticism.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Is compassion the same as agreeableness, you would say?
It's a factor of it.
Okay,
so
okay.
So agreeableness
is
compassion and politeness, right?
Oh, okay.
And so, and interesting, if you want to talk politically, and this is part of the reaction, right? People who are left-leaning tend to be higher in compassion and higher in neuroticism.
Yes.
So this is somewhat predictable of how it's fallen to some degree, not black and white, but to some degree
across
political lines. And this compassion is being weaponized, right? And so, and there's nothing more dangerous than someone who is doing something bad
out of the kindness of
out of the greater good, out of, you know, compassion, out of, or what they believe to be, because why? Because there's no limit. If you are doing something that you know to be evil, unless you are a true psychopath, there's a limit.
Because everyone operates from their point of rationality.
Yeah,
and
like
when that point of rationality is, this is endless compassion, I'm like, oh shit.
Yes,
like,
but when it's you believe truly you are doing good, then there's no limit. There's no cap on how many people you can hurt, kill if necessary, to, you know, meet that. That's come on, man. We weren't alive, but we've studied the 20th century.
Yes.
You've seen what happened in the name of the greater good, various collectivism rising up in different countries around the world in different ways, and you see the result of it, right? And it's very, very important. This might be the most important thing I say here, is that we're the same people. Human beings have not evolved drastically in 100 years, right? Someone who's a German now, you're the same blood as, like, people who are Nazis or who support you. You're the same person. You're the same people, right? You're the same people. Like, no one has evolved. It's like we're a whole different species, and we're so enlightened, and we have better stuff. We have more tech, and we, to some degree, have more knowledge. But people are still prone to the same cognitive biases, the same tribalism, same us versus them mentality, the same dogma, the same whatever. And one thing that's really interesting with this one is we've also seen the Nazis did this too, right?
Oh, so the science, is that what you're saying? The use of the
the politicization of science and science, inverted commas, becoming
a religion
in the worst sense, like a fanatical religion.
In an unquestioning way, because people are misunderstanding that science is an evolving mechanism. It is not something you should ever think of a stagnant belief in
an institution.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's what's happened. Trust the experts, follow the science. The science changed. It's like, guys, and that's one of the, psychologically, that's a really interesting thing to me, because I'm like, man, people think that, you know, there's a lot of things that I kind of find funny about, like, certain forms of atheism, but one of the ones is the way that so many people who claim to be atheists just end up worshiping, like, the state
or
the science. It's like, and it becomes a substitute for any type of form of religion or God.
Yes, right? I agree. My background is in philosophy. I focused on ethics, but also within that, it's funny because growing up, half my family Jewish, not religious at all. Other half call themselves Christian, but not even present. And then went to a religious Christian school throughout my life.
Okay.
Very thankful for the education, both in the best education I could have gotten, and also I grew up very outspokenly questioning the church because I saw so many different religions that now in studying that and then world religions, because of ethics, I had to study world religions pretty deeply. I am shocked because I find that the leftist and the statist kind of mindset is very puritanical. It reminds me very, very similarly to this, oh my God, I get why you might say that, but that's not exactly how it works. Mm-hmm. Like the thought of like, if reality was that simple, or in that way, I would understand. And also the, are you familiar with utilitarianism?
Somewhat.
Okay, yes. So it's something actually, like, I stand by, which is how I want to live is minimizing harm and maximizing well-being for everyone. And that means that in an instant, you might have to make a decision that is in the moment difficult, but in the long term for the greater good. And when that ethical algebra is misunderstood, that can be very harmful.
Oh, yes.
So I'm a utilitarian in the way that I don't think that this is that easy, but in that I don't blindly follow rules for this is right. I weigh it case by case. Mm-hmm. And that's what worries me, is that people think that they're doing the utilitarian thing of taking a bullet for the larger good when it's like not, they're outweighing things incorrectly. So that's my worry on an ethical level, is people thinking that they're doing something that is like, this is the risk reward mechanism has been distorted by fear.
Yes. And it's always important to understand, like, the thing is, everyone thinks they're right. It's an important thing to understand, right? With everything. Everybody thinks they're right. Every issue, right? Everybody believes that, anyone who believes in, you know, I'm a Christian, right? I believe Christianity is the right religion, right? I think that, you know, atheists believe what, you know, or don't believe what they believe, right? Muslims, Jews, all the different religions, you know, politics, right? People on the left think like they're correct, right? Communists think they're correct. Conservatives think they're correct. Right. Libertarians think they're correct.
No one would stand,
because if you didn't, you wouldn't believe it. So
attacking people as idiots is
over 7 billion people in the world who all believe they're correct. So have some freaking humility.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Only the wise know that they're fucking idiots.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
There you go, right? Being wise is, you know, knowing the extent of your own ignorance.
Right.
Right? And just being, and with that comes actual empathy.
Right.
Of being able to be like, okay, you know what? This is what I believe and here's why I believe it. But I'm willing to accept that I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And I personally, For many, many years, like, that's always been my approach to life. Like, I am someone who does have some strong opinions on certain things, and I do have convictions, and I can explain them.
Yeah.
But I'm always willing to be like, okay, I could.
Exactly.
I could be wrong, right? If a better argument comes along, and this has happened to me before, right? Like, something better, and I'm like, okay, I have to change my mind because I've been presented with new facts or information. Which means, right, so this whole time I've been going off on, like, you know, lockdowns don't work and mass management. If someone could come to me and show me, like, and that's based off of lots and lots and lots of data points,
right? If
anyone
can show us.
Yeah, if someone could come show me and be like, okay, even if mass mandates and lockdowns were, I'd still oppose them, by the way.
Right.
I still oppose them. But if someone could at least, this is why to me it's like doubly bad, because I don't believe these things work in terms of reducing a virus, and they have huge fallout.
Yes, the fallout. It feels like they have huge fallout. I was telling someone today, it feels like eating a Nature Valley bar and you're getting crumbs everywhere and barely getting anything that you actually wanted. And it's just like fallout everywhere. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's like, you know, there are times when, and another thing that's important for people to understand is doing nothing is sometimes, like, you don't always have to do something.
You can just sit and take in information.
Yeah, so a lot of this has been based off, again, assuming it were, if it were going to, okay, assume people do think it's about a virus, right? And firstly, like, a virus is, I've said this a lot, I say a virus is going to virus. There's nothing you can do to completely stop a virus in its tracks and totally stop it from, right? Certainly if you're going to, like, regard any type of, like, human rights or, you know, civilian, you know, just going to, you're going to shoot all the infected people, right? Like, a virus is going to be a virus.
Yeah.
You can't, it doesn't matter if it's freaking HIV or it's SARS or it's Ebola or it's, certainly, especially with a coronavirus,
right?
Same family as, like, the cold and flu.
Very contagious, yeah.
And they're always, you know, people acting like as if virus mutation is new. It's like, dude, why do you think they changed the flu jab? Why do you think we keep getting a cold? Because it's different types. There's all these different kinds. This is just going to be endemic. Like,
exactly.
it's there now. So you can't do anything that's just going to, like, okay, we're just going to flatline everything. Zero cases, zero hospitalizations, zero deaths. And it's naive. In fact, it's arrogant to think that human beings have that. And the science has such power that you're going to just defeat nature.
Yeah.
In that way, it's like, look, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that level of hubris does also come from this. All right, to get kind of philosophical, I think that there's an interesting spiritual and somewhat religious element to all of this.
Mm.
Number one is that in the absence of belief in God, a large percentage of people will substitute it with something. Oftentimes, as I've said before, that's the government. That can even be like science. It can be a political ideology.
It can be Bitcoin. I've noticed that.
Yeah, right. Yes,
like,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, when it gets to a level, like, I'm into Bitcoin, but I'm not, like, you know, I posted something about Cardano like months ago.
Oh, I bet they fucking
people are still to this day upset because I literally, do you know the tweet? The tweet literally said Cardano, smiley face.
And they're like, traitor, like,
And I'm like, y'all are insane.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so people do this. Some people do it with their diet, veganism, carnivorism, like whatever, feminism. Like, people do it with all these things. So I believe human beings are inherently religious. And there's going to be, I think there's maybe like 1% of people who, okay, they can truly just be like 100% pure. I don't believe in it, like, right? But it's extraordinarily rare. Even the people who think they're like that, as you've seen, like, they're not.
That's why I often would consider myself more of a secular humanist than an atheist, because I'm like, there's some shit out there, but I don't know what it is. Yeah, that in that way, which
and
is
then,
different than
And then what leads on from it as well is modern Western society has a weird and uncomfortable understanding and relationship with death. Right? What we've seen in the past 18 months, people have been acting as if prior to 2020 we were immortal.
And now somehow death is, it's like we're spoiled.
Yeah. Okay. So when people like, if I'm saying some of this stuff on Twitter, do you know what people will say?
Cruel grandma killer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And do you know what numbers, what's that? They'll say, Zuby, 4 million people have died of this, which isn't necessarily accurate, but they'll say four million people. But do you know how many people die on an average year?
Billions.
Not billions. That would be
hundreds of millions?
In an average year, 60 to 65 million people die.
Okay,
globally.
Yeah.
So say 60 million. Last year, about 2 million died COVID-related. 2 million out of 60 million.
Right. The proportion is...
And the age of death...
80s, like
70s and 80s,
yes,
for the most part. Have you noticed people don't die of old age anymore?
Remember
when you remember back in the day, people used to die of old age.
Right.
Like, that's not a thing anymore.
Right.
I think only Prince Philip died of old age in the past year, right? So our understanding and relationship with death is also deeply unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right? Well, people are literally running around afraid of like a 0.00, like in some instances, literally 0.001% chance of death, assuming they even get the virus, right? And totally ignoring all the other causes of death. But also, I'm like, have you never... Like, maybe I'm weird in that I consider my own mortality a lot.
I do often as well, and that's why I didn't freak out amidst a lot of New Yorkers triple masking, because I was like, if my time comes, my time comes. I don't think this is my time, guys. Like, I think we're okay. And it's like people are very uncomfortable with the neutralization of death.
Or if it were your time, like, there's 100 other things that are more likely...
I'm much more likely to
kill me, right?
More likely to die in a plane, a car.
You're more likely you're statistically more likely to die in a car crash than you are to die of COVID. Like, in your demographic, right?
110, yeah.
Yes, right? So, if you were like, I'm not getting in a car again, people would be like, that's not rational. Like, that's, you know, like, live your life, right? There's risk, right? And this is the thing. So I think that underlying a lot of this stuff is kind of like, it's got an interesting philosophical, religious, spiritual angle. And I think that's too, I think the replacement, substitution of God for a lot of people. And Matt, I'll tell you how deep this goes. I just had a thought. You can make a YouTube video saying that God doesn't exist. And in fact, I'm sure there's millions of them out there. Do you know what you're not allowed to say doesn't exist on YouTube?
Ivermectin?
COVID.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry,
If you say that COVID doesn't exist, you get...
You were taken down as a misinformation.
It gets taken down.
Right.
So...
Which is a rabbit hole.
When I'm talking about people replacing God, like, look, whether or not you believe in God, like, that's not even the point. But the point is that if I deny God and I denounce God on YouTube, that is totally fine. If I denounce COVID, or I say that COVID isn't real, or I talk about treatments of COVID that don't have to do with the vaccine, I can lose my whole channel. That's spreading, right? And so this is a deification. This is like, this thing is the... What about other... I think I'd even be allowed to say that other diseases don't exist.
Right.
Even if I'm factually wrong.
You could probably say Ebola doesn't exist. Yeah, and they're
fair point. Yeah, they're like, okay, you're wrong, but you can say it.
Right.
It's like you're not even allowed
to say. That's the worrisome thing for me is the censorship. Right. Because when we cannot have discourse about things that rub up... Like, everyone has a fucking moral line. If you're unwilling to at all... Like, you cannot draw these lines and say that you were morally correct in censoring someone, because that line will move closer and closer and closer to literal police state, if that's not already what you consider what this is happening. And, yeah, it feels very... I mean, it is insane to see in real time people that I know getting channels taken down, etc. And me being like, I kind of don't get why I'm still here. Maybe they just think I'm stupid. Mm. I don't know. We're still going. But... It has turned into what I see as, like, also, I think the population of people that may have, for legitimate reasons of generations of being in groups of people that were heavily, heavily, you know, just not very wronged, and also people of identities that are, I guess, like, socially not as, like, dominant. Like, I'm usually the more assertive, like, not extroverted, but, like, center of attention. Like, I will put myself out there and do it. I think people that don't fit those kinds of... easily, I guess, supported or rewarded identities feel like this is their leg up in order to gain moral control. And it's sad because you can see the incentive structure of not even consciously, but subconsciously being like, this is my power grab. And then the incentive is endless, because if there's always a crisis, then you can always be the bigger person. And so I think that's what I see happening. And the hope is that maybe those of us who have gone through the ringer to wake up to this can influence those before they realize they're complicit. But that's what I'm hoping.
It's like trying to stop people running off a cliff.
Yeah, the lemmings. You
know? It's like trying to stop people running off a cliff. And the thing is, as well, is, I don't know, you really have to deal with people on an individual level.
Yeah.
Because once there's a crowd, you know, there's something called the madness of crowds, right? And there's groupthink and people take social cues and whatever. And a lot of the time, that's fine. You know, people see, and marketers know this, business owners know this, right? If you have, I have almost 500,000 followers on Twitter. So you know what? More people are likely to follow me than if I tweeted the exact same thing, but I only had 500 followers, right? Because people are like, man, well, 500,000 people follow this guy. He's got to be worth following, right? Obviously. if you see two nightclubs, one of them has a long line outside, one of them has no line, you're like, okay, this is the better nightclub.
It's a network effect, right? Yeah.
You know, oh, everyone's listening to this song. Why do you have music charts? It's because if something goes high in the music charts, then people see, oh, well, it's number one in the chart. It has to be a good song. And the song could be trash. But they'll, you know, record labels used to do all kinds of manipulation to get their songs to get into the charts.
New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, exactly.
Easily manipulated.
Social proof. Social proof. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so all of these things are potential cognitive errors that people should be aware of. And, you know, even if you're aware of them, you are still... We're always... Psychological manipulation is unavoidable. Propaganda is unavoidable. Marketing, bias, all of that stuff is unavoidable. Even if you're conscious of it, most people aren't even properly conscious of how much of it there is. Even if you're conscious of it, you're still susceptible to it to some degree, okay? If, right, like, I'm a businessman, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what I can do? Okay. Okay, so we've got a phone, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to, do you know how I can, okay, say this phone, or we're on sale for... $800. Do you know how I can make it look like a better bargain?
Say put it on sale. There's an $800 on sale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even more effective, I write $1,000 above it and I cross it out.
Yes, to make it think that it's the
even if you know
you
that's a, even if you know that's a trick.
Right.
Even if you know, I know this. Like I do sales. I know it. It still works.
No, I mean I work it's with still, marketing teams and things like that as
still
well.
Works.
And I know the clickbait, the face, the things too, and I will never do something that's like completely clickbait, like this is false. But I even myself, I know the way to where I have to, for TikTok, I have to say the hook in the first sentence in a way that will get people to be, oh my God, what? Mm. Even if it's, and then I have to explain this is this. Like you have to, there are tools that are simply parts of nature that will incentivize propaganda to get attention. And it's not a good or a bad thing, but I agree that the awareness is the important part. So
people should be aware. And so I've often said with many times, like I'm not interested in telling people to what to think.
Right.
But I want them to think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's what I've been doing a lot over the, you know, for years. And I think that's what people like. It's like, look, I want to provoke thought.
Yeah.
I want you to think. Don't just blindly, you know, go with whatever the mainstream media is feeding you or trying to scare you with or whatever, right? They'll do this. They've done it with everything, right?
Yes.
You know, they're trying to, prior to all this, and I think this also prepped people up for it, was all the BS about Trump. Trump and Brexit were the boogeymen for 4 or 5
years.
Everything.
It was literally this, it was a poster. And it's been actually sad to, in a weird kind of niche spiritual community, be painted as the Trump of the community, like, and because it's just like everything is painted. I literally don't know the insanity of the level of like just painting everything possible on me that doesn't even make sense. And in a weird, that woke me up to, you're right, like you, like I was always kind of the person who was like, yeah, I don't like Trump, but this is insane. And now I literally can see that it was literally throwing spaghetti and hoping it stuck for anything possible. Mm-hmm. And that's true. It prepped people. People to be polarized.
It did. And, you know, it's so I think that largely, and the fact that the overlap with that and the COVID narrative, I don't think is accidental. Let me tell you something I've noticed as well is the people who freaked out about Trump and Brexit are broadly the same people who freak out about climate change.
Yes.
Who are broadly the same people who are freaking out about COVID.
Yeah.
It's the same people.
It's the same reactionary.
Yes.
Oh my God,
it's the same. The media tells you what to think. It literally tells you what to be afraid of. This is what you should be afraid of. This is what you should be anxious about over the next couple months, the next year. This is what we want you to worry about.
Yes.
And most people accept it. They accept it, right? If you watch it, like, it's like, okay, people don't talk about climate change now. But they, next year, they can just bring that back.
And now suddenly, next year they disposable plastic things are okay now because it's COVID. And I think...
Paper straw, but you can throw away a trillion masks.
I think environmental lockdowns will be their next substitution.
I agree. They'll certainly make an attempt for it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so this is what's happening. I mean, when I was a kid, what were the scary narratives? Acid rain.
Yes. Yes.
Quicksand.
There's
a hole in the ozone layer.
Yeah.
It wasn't climate change, it was global warming.
Right.
Decade before that was global cooling.
Global cooling, yeah. Yep. My dad was telling me about that.
What else was there? The millennium bug. The millennium bug.
Y2K.
People thought that the year 2000, right? And then they just move to the next thing. They never go, we were wrong.
They just
move on, right?
Right.
March, 6 months ago, Texas reopens. They're dropping on masks. Joe Biden, this is Neanderthal thinking. People are there on Twitter. Everyone in Texas is going to die. Oh my gosh, like this is crazy, whatever. Texas number going down. No one went, we were wrong. No. They just move on to the next thing.
No one apologizes these governors into actual, like, yeah.
No, they just move on. We're saying DeSantis, Death Santis, they call him, right?
I've been shocked.
It's like...
I was like, I'm not even on the same political, maybe, like, I'm shocked at what they've turned these guys into. Because now I can relate. Now I can see.
Now you can see it.
Now I'm like, oh,
which
my
Which states
God.
Have the highest death rates? New Jersey and New York.
Yes. And Florida is much older.
And who did we give the Emmy to and have a best-selling book about how well you handled the COVID narrative?
Cuomo. And now we have to now we have to get canceled over, you know, the groping or whatever hell. God knows how true, how not true that is. We can't address. We cannot address the political. We can't actually.
Putting time bombs in nursing homes. This is the world we live in, right? That's why it's so... Like, firstly, it's dope that you've, like... It's always interesting to like, speak to people who kind of, like, snapped out of it, like, more recently.
Oh, my God. I literally was, like, suicidal for, like, months. Like, because people were coming after me, being not white supremacist. I'm like, guys, where are you getting... I was like, Jesus Christ. And then now I see anytime that you encourage... Like, I just did a video on how... given like the astrology of what I see coming up and just common sense, I worry specifically about early 2022 with like a really like nail in the coffin, like going to try to get people as much as they can to comply. And I was saying what I'm doing is expanding passports, qualifying through descent, trading my way up to qualifying through investment on some places, and also getting like a residence in the UAE. It's a nice compliment to things I'm doing, looking at places in Asia. Like, and people are saying they're like the white privilege here. I was like, guys, I'm trying to improve your life. I'm not even saying I can do these things.
You know, I'll tell you something, especially because you're like newish to this side of things, right? You can't appease vipers. You can't appease vipers, right? So don't even...
You cannot.
You don't have to defend yourself against every... Yeah. Someone says, oh, you're an alt-right. Like, mute them, block.
Yeah,
like,
now they're saying you don't alt-men, have to, alt-right.
I've been called everything. I've been called a white supremacist. I get called out, right? Like, it's like, bruh, like... I
was called a Holocaust denier. I'm like, guys, I'm in the pictures with my grandmother in the museum. Like,
you know, oh, that Jewish person's a Nazi, that black person's a white supremacist.
Yes.
It's like, look, if you're being that stupid, your opinion, you wanna, your opinion is just invalid and should be disregarded. You should be laughed at. As soon as you start defending yourself, you kind of put yourself on the back foot. If someone calls you something that you're not and it's egregious, you know, you've got full right to call them an a-hole, like, straight up, because they're not trying to engage with what you're saying. Right. People label you, because if they label you, they don't need to know your name, they don't need to know who you are. It's easier to just say, you're that bad thing, and now I don't need to contend with what you're saying.
Exactly.
That's why people do it. Exactly. So, whether it's calling you an anti-vaxxer, or a Nazi, or a white supremacist, or a racist, or whatever, with no evidence. You haven't said anything that, you know, suggests you are any of these things. You don't owe them, let alone an apology or like a defense. You just ignore it. Like, it's not worth it. And those are the people who are never gonna, you're not gonna get through to them. You're not gonna get through to them, right? Yeah. Like, focus on the people who like and value, or at least are open-minded enough. Even if they're like initially opposed to what you're saying, they're at least open-minded enough to like listen and not just, attack you with whatever the thing. Here's another thing I do on social media, which I recommend to people, anyone listening, is I never unfollow someone purely off of a political disagreement.
I never unfollow off of reactionary triggeredness to a particular disagreement. It has to be something literally like, this person is annoying. Like, it's,
If someone is like, there's good reasons to it, but if it's just, I disagree with...
That's middle school behavior.
That I don't recommend it, because that's also how people fall into these echo chambers.
Yes.
Because it always cracks me up. I remember in 2016 when first Brexit happened, right? And I remember talking to someone and being like, oh, I don't know anyone who voted for Brexit, right? I was like, it can't happen because I don't know anyone who's voting. And I'm like, dude, like, you're in an echo chamber.
Right? I thought like, that the leftism was the majority. Like, I legitimately
Or when you get people
that.
Who are like, oh, I don't know anyone who's going to vote for Trump. I'm like, bro, how can you, if you don't know anyone who votes differently.
That's a problem. Things,
like, you're That's in a, yeah. If you don't, if you're a religious person and you don't know any atheists, you're in an echo chamber.
Yes.
If you're an atheist and you don't know any religious people, you're
chamber.
In an echo chamber. If you're on the right, you don't know any liberals. Echo chamber. Right. You're a liberal. You don't. Oh, I don't know any concern. Firstly, you're probably fooling yourself because you probably do. Like, people are.
And
just,
people misqualify themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I can now see, like, even as like a very like centrist kind of like socially liberal person,
yeah.
I tend to have the whoa mentality of like that's conservative. Just I think through things before
yeah.
saying let's push ahead. So
yes.
like people misqualify themselves also, which is the echo chamber
yeah.
of like they don't even.
Yeah, they do. And,
yeah.
and again, and these labels are also just.
Temporary
yeah, they're
relative.
They're,
and like,
yeah, exactly. They're not clear cut.
Yeah.
Okay, this
it means
person.
Nothing to
yeah,
me,
it's
someone
not
calls
just
themselves left, right? I'm like, literally, let's have a conversation because
exactly.
I don't know what that means nowadays.
Exactly. You know, and it's not like every. It's not like every conservative agrees with every conservative.
Right.
Like, it's not like
right.
one block.
Yeah.
Of these are just the conservative views. This block
right.
is like, and when people do that again, it's disingenuous. It's subject. It's themselves
yes.
subjecting themselves to groupthink
yes.
because most people are. Firstly, most people aren't that political. But even
yeah.
those who are tend to be, you know, those who think about it anyway, you know, tend to be somewhat nuanced. Like, there's nobody in the real world who's, like, conservative on everything.
No, yeah.
And there's
yeah.
no one in the real world who's, like, liberal on everything. Because if you think of what those terms mean in their proper definitions, you want to conserve things that work.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay? So, if you were, like, progressive and, you know, radically progressive on it, that would mean, like, you want to change everything.
Right.
Like,
right.
Even the stuff that works.
And few people actually say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, even the stuff that
yeah.
works, right? It's like, no, but you want to do that. Even the people with these ideas, like, they still act conservatively in a
yeah.
lot of ways because there are certain things that work
yeah.
and they make sense and they're good for the individual and they're good for family and they're good for society
yeah.
and you want to preserve that.
Yeah.
You could argue that is conservative.
Right.
Right? But then it's also not like conservatives don't want anything to ever change again. Really, this is it. Everything is... We don't want anything to change. No.
Right.
It's like you want the speed at which people things should change might be different or
yeah.
what should change or whatever. But
right.
I don't know any person in the UK, America, whatever, who thinks that everything is perfect.
Right.
The system, all the systems, all the, you know, we've just sorted it. Like,
yeah.
we just want it to stay exactly how it is. Like, that's
right.
not how it is. There's no one who wants to change everything. There's no one who wants everything to be the same. Everyone's like a blend of
yeah.
these things.
And
yeah.
getting out of that echo chamber, I think...
Yeah.
is painful, but I think that when you train yourself to not look at dissonance as a go-away sign, but something to actually look deeper into,
mm.
that's kind of what I retrained, was like anytime something triggers me, but I think triggered is different for me than, I think it being low in neuroticism, it's a bit different, it's more of a, what's this? Like, I
yeah,
disagree
yeah.
with that. It's not a, oh my God, like, let me, like, rant.
Yeah.
How would you advise people who might, after listening to this, begin to realize that they're in an echo chamber or don't have, you know, other kinds of information coming in? What do you recommend? Because I think that that is the first step to becoming like an individual, is not
mm.
becoming just wholeheartedly identified with these terms. Like,
mm.
how do you recommend people begin to...
I think the first thing is to separate yourself from your ideas. Don't make your entire identity and self-worth and character about a label.
Yes. Because
okay.
that's scary, because
yeah.
it will change.
Yeah, and it
yeah.
forces you to... Doing that forces you to be tempted to go along with groupthink and do whatever and believe whatever your side
right,
believes.
Right.
So say you know you are a Republican. I'm a Republican. You know, I'm a 20-year Republican. I'm a Democrat. What if your party? What if you disagree with something in your party
right.
or like their politicians? Like right, by saying you are that thing. Then, firstly, you deem any criticism or attack on that thing as a personal attack,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So, I'm a, you know, like, forget politics, like, I'm a Christian.
Right.
Okay? And that's important to me, obviously. If someone criticizes Christianity or criticizes religion as a whole, I don't take that as a
exactly.
personal attack and assault on me.
Yeah, because you know that you are not equal
because,
Christianity in encyclopedia. Like,
yes, exactly.
yeah.
Because that's a belief system. It's
yeah.
it's an idea. It's a concept. It's an idea. It's, you know, a religion is more than that. But let alone politics. Like, politics, that should be even more loose. Like,
right?
So someone can criticize, you know, I have criticisms of, you know, libertarianism.
Right.
Like, I'm
right.
libertarian, conservative leaning.
Yeah,
I have criticisms
yeah.
of libertarian.
Yeah.
I have criticisms of conservatism, etc. I have criticisms of every party, whatever. And that's fine. It's just like, I'm not totally wrapped up in my identity so that
yeah.
triggers me, or I take it really personally
right.
and I get emotional and upset, whatever. So I think that's the first part, like, detach yourself from it. And then beyond that is, I mean, there's a lot of steps. I think if you are in an echo chamber, or if you've been blindsided by anything, if you were blindsided by Trump's election, or you were blindsided by Brexit, or you were blindsided
yeah.
by Biden's election
yeah.
or whatever, you're probably, you might be in an echo chamber, right? Because
yeah.
it was clear to me that all of those things could happen. It wasn't clear to everybody.
Right.
Some people thought Trump had no, I remember when people laughing at me. I was saying Trump had a chance before he even won the Republican nomination. I was laughed at.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed I didn't put money on it. But I was laughed at. People
yeah.
were like, Zooey, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, well, I was like, dude, like, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. Like, I know tons of people that would vote for this
yeah.
guy. If I were American, I probably would. I can't be, and I'm not some dumb hick
no.
who lives in Alabama
really
and is racist.
It's a very frustrating
yeah,
series.
You know, so yeah,
most
is.
Of them, honestly, when you think about the
yeah.
media, would probably vote Biden. If I'm honest,
yeah.
like most of them with the media, it's
sure.
like, or not even, I'm not even country, but people who are just less in the forefront of like politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these people are actually probably gonna yeah
yeah
otherwise
yeah. So
tangent.
So it's like, you know, I wasn't there like, oh, Biden has no chance of winning. Of course, he's got a chance of
right.
winning. I wasn't also like, oh, Trump has no chance. I was like, no, it's like, it's a toss up.
Right.
This is a toss-up.
Both ways, but
yeah.
Yeah,
it was
I
a toss-up. You know, Trump and Hillary, that was a
yes,
toss-up. Brexit
yes.
was a toss-up.
Because of the echo chambers.
Yeah.
It was like person-person.
Yeah, but I'm seeing that. I'm talking to different people,
yeah.
and I'm having, and I'm just seeing, like, okay, like, I've got enough of a pulse on things
right.
to know, okay, it's not just all that way or all this way. So I'd say if any of those things sort of shocked and surprised you, then, you know, vary your sources and even the people you're talking to, people you follow on social media,
yeah.
all of that. And then also, like, you know, politics sucks, man. Like, you don't have to, like, one of the best ways to just be angry and upset and anxious all the time is to, like, follow all of this stuff so hard that it becomes, and this is another big problem, is, like, politics has become, like, not just a religion to some people, but also like a sport and a form
yeah.
of
no,
entertainment
totally
and every. So it's kind of like
an addiction to your side winning instead
yeah.
of the actual what's behind
yeah.
your side.
Like, I think you're in the same camp as
yeah.
me. Where actually, do you know? Like, I don't even want to notice. I don't. The ideal for me would be to not even notice.
Right, because I don't want to come in with a disposition.
I just
don't, yeah.
right, and,
yeah.
and that's why the last year and a half has annoyed me. I'm just like, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's all I'm asking
yeah.
for, and you're failing.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Don't lock me down. Don't force me to do this. Don't try to force me to inject myself. Don't
yes.
try to force me to shut my business. Don't try to force this and force that. It's like, just leave me
yes.
alone. Let
yes.
me make my
let
decisions.
People be.
Let me make my decisions. Let me do what makes sense
we're
to
infantilizing
me.
Infantilizing adults, not letting them make decisions. It's
exactly. That's literally my thing, which is why over the past year now, like, I'm annoyed because I'm like, and they're doing this to other people. It's like, look, just let people just... Australia, all these countries that are being crazy, just leave people alone, man. Just leave them alone. Just let
yeah.
people... Look, you know what? If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask.
Yeah.
You want to take the vaccine, here it is. You
right.
can take it. In fact,
right.
we've got a few different ones you can take.
Right.
You don't want to take it? No worries, man. That's cool. Those who want
yeah.
it can take it.
Yeah.
And you know what? If everyone's protected, right? They don't,
yeah.
All it does is reduce the symptoms. It doesn't stop you getting it. It doesn't
right.
stop you transmitting it. So
right.
logically, if we give it to everyone who wants it or slash needs it, then
yeah.
we're fine.
Right.
We're done. But no, we have to move the goalposts, right? It has to be always like this, and then this, and then this. Oh, now we need to get all. It's like, what are you doing? Now you're just trying to profit. You're just trying to make money. You're trying to control people. It's like, man, just let people, leave people be. Like, I thought 2019 was weird, but I'm just like, dude, like, I'd happily go back to people eating Tide Pods and licking ice cream and putting it back in the freezer,
yeah.
whatever nonsense they were or Orange
yeah.
Bad Man, Orange
yeah.
Man Bad nonsense they were on.
Yeah.
That was better than this.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. Like, I'm just, what I advocate for is what everybody believed back at the
yeah.
beginning of last year.
Yeah. I think given that I operate a little bit like a computer, I think a lot about like the market as a metaphor for life, and how right now with the manipulation, the market is technically, quote, better than ever. That makes no fucking sense. Like, it's waiting to topple. I think that similarly, the illusions of lie, coercion, under the guise of helping everyone, will have to tumble, and it's about not wanting to be the person who is invested, who's bought the top, basically, and loses the most. So, yeah, I think this was a dope conversation, because it helped me, at least, with, like, navigating the mindset of someone like you, who's, like, really, like, not that any of us have it mastered, but, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, I've always been a free thinker, but I'm fairly new to actually putting those principles into practice with snapping out of it. And, yeah, I thank you for a dope convo. So enjoy the rest of your time in Miami.
Thank you.